There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday as we continue to get to know the candidates. Although, let me do this as an entree here. If you, I said Gerald Dial was in studio. You said Gerald Dial?
Rise and shine, Alabama. It's Dial time.
It is that Gerald Dial of Dial Time fame joining me in studio, State Senator Gerald Dial. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me. Great to be here. Great to be in Mobile today. Great day.
And yeah, this is because you're home, what, you're eastern Alabama,
I'm
Randolph
up east.
County?
I'm not, I'm in Clay County.
County.
We're about halfway between Atlanta and Birmingham, up on the eastern side. And so I represent six counties that run up the Georgia line, so that's basically where we're from.
Now, so you're down in the southwest corner here.
It is. Great to be here. Been in Baldwin all morning. Had a lot of good friends with me. Got Representative Randy Davis going around and showing me the ropes. And
he's
been a good friend of mine. I serve as chairman of the reapportionment committee, which drew the district line for the House and Senate seats. And Randy was on. He was the House, my counterpart in the House, and helped draw the House seats. So he and I have been friends for a long time, worked hard. Y'all losing the good one over in Baldwin and losing Randy. He said he's going to retire, but I kind of questioned
that. He said that before, and he's still doing stuff. So I don't know about that. You know, it's probably easy to find people from statewide. If you said, hey, I'm going to go down and do a campaign swing through Mobile and Baldwin County, they go, oh, where the beaches are, sure, we'll go with you.
Oh, everybody wants to go. No problem. I could have loaded the whole vehicle up today and come down.
They're like, I can't make the other trip, but the one to the beach, Gerald, yeah, I can make. I want to talk about this. First of all, the jingle is legendary here around FM Talk 106.5, because when that ad ran, we were talking during the news break, when I first heard it, I said, I don't know about that. The second or third time I heard it, I said, in a huge amount of commercials that were running during the primary, this is just from a person in the advertising business, that stuck out. That was genius.
Well, that's what we tried to do. We tried to separate, because we knew in the primary there'd be, 160 candidates running over the world.
Yes.
And they're all saying, hey, vote for me, I'm a great guy, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And so how you separate yourself and get your name out there a little bit different. So we took a different approach. I appreciate the people who have helped work with me on that. And
well, it's a hit. It's a hit record.
It is. I've had little kids come up and start singing it to me. And I kind of, at first I said, well, all right. But the first time you hear it, it's kind of, hey, that's silly and tacky. But then it gets in your head. I've had people say, hey, I go to bed at night hearing that song. I said, hey, it's working.
But, it is. Also, your signage is different as well.
Well, it is, yeah. Round signs, and they're more difficult to make, but to stand out, you got to separate yourself from the field when you're out there with so many people. Now it's narrowed down. There's two of us.
Right.
And now it's just issues, and we're really ready to go forward and talk about the issues and how we're going to make this state better and how important this job is. You know,
yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of people who live in the metropolitan area say, Commissioner of Agriculture, I don't grow anything. I don't plant anything. What's it matter to me? Let me tell you why it matters to you. Two reasons. Agriculture is a $70 billion industry in this state. It's by far the largest single industry in Alabama.
Wow.
$70 billion. 600,000 people on Friday will get a check from either agriculture or agribusiness. 600,000. That's 200 Airbus plants. That's 200 Toyota plants. So it is big. And let me tell you how else it's important to everybody out there. One of the major jobs of the Department of Agriculture is to ensure your food is saved. You can't have food out there that's in the grocery stores or being sold to people that's unsafe, because look what a catastrophe that'd be.
Mm-hmm.
The Department of Agriculture has the primary responsibility to make sure you have safe food. That's one of the major responsibilities. That affects, it don't care where you live, metropolitan area or the
right, that affects everybody,
safe food is so important to you. So you got to understand how important this department is to the people of this state. And the other thing is, if we want to grow jobs, and jobs are important, we can grow jobs in agriculture business and agro-science business and agro-technology business without giving a whole lot of money like you have to do to get a big plant. We can keep that unemployment rate low and even lower it by helping our farmers and our new people that want to get into agro-business, helping them by having the right direction and expanding those jobs without having to get a lot of money. And that's where we make this state continue to be better.
You know, I think it's interesting, and I've, you know, the first generation off the farm myself, so I've always paid attention to this. And the state of Alabama, you say agriculture, and people probably picture either cattle or row crops. But we do a lot. I mean, we are so varied here, whether it's chickens or the nursery business or, you know, absolutely, growing this product or that product. I mean, we grow a lot of stuff in Alabama.
Well, timber is the number one agriculture product, and I'm in the timber business. Matter of fact, we sold timber back in October, and I'm financing most of my campaign on timber sales that me and my wife did back in October. That's where most of my campaign funding is coming from.
So it's your campaign, if we're looking at who is backing Gerald Dahl, Loblolly is backing Gerald
Dahl. Loblolly pine trees in Choctaw and Clay County. And my wife says we're not cutting any more. We're limiting that. But that's my agricultural background. I used to be in, had cattle,
yep,
got elected to the legislature, and in the military, cattle don't work. You got to be there and work
that's
them.
That's right, because they will get themselves in trouble.
They would get out every time yes, I left, yes, and the first call I get from my wife, the cows are out.
Yep.
So she called one day, and I said, "How are the cows?" She said, "They're not out. I sold them."
They're out for good.
They're out, and we planted pine trees, and that's where we've been. But poultry is big in this state.
Sure.
Beef is big. Horticulture is big.
Horticulture is big. Down here.
Down here, this yeah, area is certainly big. And then specialty crops. You don't realize how many specialty crops. People may grow 5 acres of specialty peppers and have a specialty market, or strawberries. Peaches in Clanton and Chilton mm-hmm, County are big, so specialty products are also big, and that's where we can continue to grow this. We passed a bill this year, and Randy helped us pass a bill that sets aside $10 million that Congressman Idaho got us to go to Soil and Water to begin to provide funding for small specialty crop irrigations. Because if you irrigate, you can increase your production 3 times.
Sure.
If you don't irrigate, you might as well go to Biloxi and put it on the gambling table, because you got to depend on the rain, the yep, water, not too much.
Sure.
So we're beginning to work already on how we can increase irrigation, and I think that's a very important part of this.
You know, you're talking about the growth of this, just from where I am looking at people coming back to agriculture because of the local food movement. Right, you know, where it went, you know, when my parents were, you know, growing up, they were all small farms, and then the farms started being sold off and gotten to be bigger and bigger, bigger, bigger farms, and now it's funny how things work and the pendulum swings. There's now more smaller farms and local people doing, whether they're doing urban gardens or small scale farming, you know, right there in communities, selling straight to folks.
Absolutely. There's about 60,000 single family owned farms in Alabama. 60,000 people, men and women, who have a single farm that, you know, it may be 100 acres, 200 acres, 500 acres, not mm-hmm, large farm.
Right.
We think, we do get to that concept. Farms are just great and
right,
big, but
right,
that's not so in Alabama. Most 60,000, almost 60,000 farms are owned by single family, and they're under 1,000 acres. So you got to look at what's really important to this state. But let's never forget that exporting yeah, Alabama agricultural products is extremely important to this state, because that's the way we grow our economy.
Yeah, you're right here where those products go out to the world.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was talking earlier to some people. It's interesting. For years, we sold more poultry came from Alabama to Cuba than anywhere else in America. Now, you know who sells more poultry? Arkansas. Arkansas chicken comes to the Mobile port and goes to Cuba, and we've fallen way off that scale. And it's real simple. Why? And I've did some real
research.
Yeah,
I would wonder, it'd be cheaper, you think, if it was already here. I mean,
Arkansas put a man on the ground in Cuba to begin to build relationships to produce mm-hmm, it. I've talked to Horst Horn, who's president of the Port Authority here, Port Association. He's agreed that if I'm elected, he and I will share the cost, and we'll put our person on the ground, and we'll become the number one poultry producer. Not only poultry, soybeans, peanuts, timber. You know, they don't grow a power pole anywhere in the Caribbean islands or
yep,
Cuba.
They need those.
They all got to come from Alabama, and we need to be promoting that.
That's right. And every time they have a hurricane through there, they're going to need more poles.
Absolutely. And they're going to have one every other year, or maybe every year, I think, if you think continue. That's why it took so long in Puerto Rico to get the power back up. It wasn't, they didn't have the lines, they didn't have the poles. You can't string right. blinds if you don't have poles.
That's true, and we have them here. We just need to get them there. Gerald Dodd, thank you for coming in.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for letting me be here.
If people want to, between now and Tuesday, get more information about you and your campaign, and also thank you for your service to our country in the military. I appreciate that.
Well,
my family does as well.
Thank you. It was a great honor to serve this country, and I take a lot of pride in my military service. I started off as a private and wound up as a brigadier general. I jumped out of good airplanes when I didn't know any better, and I ate rattlesnake in Ranger school when I didn't know any better. I've gotten a little wiser, but I really, my military service has given me the background to do what I've done.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
If people want to go online, get more information, where do they go?
It's dialtime.com, or you can go to Gerald. You can email me at Gerald_dial@yahoo.com.
All right.
And we're on Facebook, all over Facebook. So we appreciate anybody. And just remember, July the 7th, this race will be over July the 7th.
17th, yes.
17th. There's no Democrats in this. So you're going to elect someone who's going to be the voice for all Alabamians all over this state, speaking for agriculture. But you're also going to be the voice in Congress and anywhere else in America or nationwide or internationally for agriculture in Alabama. And I want to be that strong voice.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Gerald Dahl here on Midday Mobile, and you'll probably go to bed tonight hearing this.
Rise and shine, Alabama. It's dial time.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 122 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday. Remember, online, fmtalk1065.com, also on Facebook. By the way, too, today, one of those transition days in the summer better than others prize giveaway. The box, one, there's a box still at Mike Ward's Liberty Safes that we will be taking up today. Your last chance to get registered there. And the box has already moved to Cart Doctor as well. So for your chance today, dual chance to get registered in the Summer Better Than Others giveaway. We will do that drawing next week and award $5,500 worth of goods to one of y'all. So make sure you get your name in the registration box today. You can do it two places, Mike Ward's Liberty Safes and at the Cart Doctor new location right there on Highway 90 in Theodore. All right, I want to bring back a friend on the show. You've been not only a friend of the show, person on the show, a host of the show that I had rave reviews about. Cam Marston from What's Working and also host of Midday Mobile.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, Sean. I appreciate you leaving allow me to do that.
I'll do that again soon. Just leave.
That was a lot of fun. It's fun to be in the moment like that, knowing that it's that you're responsible for the content of the show, and I feel like it went really very well.
They were blowing up my phone in the Smokies saying what a great job you did. So
yeah, I was told to ask for your resignation.
And you got it. Yeah. You ready? Because I could use the time for sure. And let's I want to talk more about that, but first let's talk about what's happening on What's Working tonight at 6 o'clock.
The county of Elkhart County, Indiana, has been the focus of a lot of media attention over the years due right now to their historic low unemployment rate. They're at 2.4% in Elkhart, Indiana. I have a longtime client from there, Smoker Craft Boats, and I see them every year at different conferences and things. And last year, or this past spring rather, I was talking to Phil Smoker, fifth generation of the family, about what they're doing to find people. And he went into some things that I had not heard of. And I said to him, Phil, I'd like to get you on the show. I think you might have some advice, because my angle on this, Sean, is that it's very rare that an employer can offer a perk or a something to an employee base to get them to come to work and then take it back when things change. In other words, what's being offered
right.
tends to stick.
Yes.
Regardless of what it is. Try to find one workplace that has gone to a casual workplace and then said, no, we just did that to get you through the door. We're now going back to suit
right.
and tie. It just simply doesn't work.
Pitchforks and torches.
Exactly. So Phil, in my angle on this, he and his team at Smoker Craft Boats are kind of forging ahead the rest of us, figuring out what what to expect. What they're doing in Elkhart County, Indiana, is what I think most of us can expect in the future in terms of the workplace.
Okay, with the idea that he's looking at the future, if you do these things incentivized now, the market always doesn't stay the same. No, but you'll have to carry those forward if the market gets soft down the road.
No, you'll have to carry those forward. I don't think you can take them back. You'll have to carry those forward. They're going to become, as I said, table stakes going forward. And it's things, one of the things that Phil said that they did is made an investment in the manufacturing areas, not only in terms of the machinery used to manufacture the boats that they make at Smoker Craft, but the lighting. Painting the place, brightening it up. You'll hear Phil talk about the investments they made in the bathroom. And it wasn't simply throwing a Sports Illustrated into the porta potty. It was actually going in and adding some lighting and some nicer features in the bathrooms to respect the employees and make them feel more appreciated by the employer. Most people immediately flinch and say, well, they raised their dollars. They raised how much they paid them. And they did that. But Phil will go on to say that we had to in order to stay competitive. But there are people in our community, he said, that are paying $10 an hour more than we are. And it's hard for anybody in their right mind to turn down $10 an hour. And our people left us and to go take those jobs, but they came back. They came back. They took a $10 an hour wage hit in order to come back and be a part of this community that we created in our workplace. So he talks about that. One of the things that shocked me was that they created a smoking area. They said there was a time where we said no more smoking, but they created it because it was important to the people.
Right.
They created a smoking area so that they could go and smoke in a, you know, not outside behind the dumpster.
Right, on the farthest corner of the, as you can tell, properties where the worn-out grass is on the farthest corner.
Yes, exactly. One of those kind of cone-shaped, inverted cone-shaped cigarette things.
Yes.
So those things that they had to do to get these people, and it has worked out to keep them. It was very interesting. I think they're cutting edge. And then they look at it as survival. We're doing all we have to simply survive in this remarkable environment. But
because
hunch,
that's contrary. People would think, wait a second, the economy is going gangbusters. What are you trying to mean, survive?
Well, survive to find people.
Yeah.
Survive
you gotta
to find
have
talent.
People to make
got to have people to make these boats. They're in the pontoon boat business. That's their primary product, is aluminum boats, primarily being pontoon boats. But they have more orders against inventory than they can fill, and they're doing everything they possibly can to get boats out the door. And they're learning that it's not about working people hard and all night long. It's about making them feel welcome and comfortable in a good environment so that they'll want to give you more than they typically could. They'll want to give you more than if you were over the top of them, pushing them real hard. It's a story of respect. It's a story of introspection. What are we about here? Are we about boats? Are we about creating a community that includes our customers and our employees and creating a feeling that makes people want to work hard and come back to work there?
You know, a lot of people will hear that and go, I'm tired of all this touchy-feely kind of stuff around. But I look and see the companies that are really getting it done. We'd love to make fun of what the big Fortune 500 company, oh, they're doing this. I can't believe they have a stocked snack machine, you know, and they give people all this stuff. But they're the companies that are getting it done.
They're getting it done, and their people come to work, and they come to work every day. And they look forward to the mission, to being a part of the mission. They've invested themselves in the mission. I'm kind of like you. I kind of got, a thick skin on me. Just come in, go to work. It's not my job to make you happy.
Get your stuff done.
We don't need to know each other. We don't have to be friends. Just come to work and do your job. However, I'm learning, and this is a bitter pill to swallow, the exact opposite of that are the companies that are killing it, that are finding
there you
people
go.
Who will take a $10 an hour wage cut
to, yes.
to come back to
Yo, how
place.
Competitive is that? Business folks out there, I mean, if you could put the foosball table in the break room, that's ridiculous, but then the folks would come back and bring all that talent back to your company and take a $10 wage cut, an hour wage cut. That's brilliant.
To be a part
of
something.
That's the best foosball table ever for a business owner.
That's exactly right. That's a cheap foosball table at that point. And a point to make on those foosball tables, and I've belittled them over and over again, they seem to work, but at some point, people grow up and grow older. And that foosball table would be a great thing for, let's say, somebody under the age of 30.
Sure.
But at 45, they want a part of a community. They want to look at their customers smiling in their boat on a lake and say, I had something to do with that.
All right. How that applies to your business, we'll talk more about that with Cam. We return tonight, 6 o'clock. What's Working with Cam Marston right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 136 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. By the way, taking the show, I would say on the road, but on the water tomorrow. First time for Midday Mobile from a boat, y'all. Not even a boat. 92-foot sport fishing yacht, one of the pace boats for the Blue Marlin Grand Championship. Over $2 million in cash prizes up for the 75 best sport, the best sport fishing teams from around the country fishing for marlin and tuna and dolphin or people call it, not flipper, mahi-mahi, all, and they're weighing them in, of course, at the wharf. It works this way. The sport fishing yachts go out on Friday, and they fish. They come back in on Saturday right there on Main Street at the wharf. You get the full show with my buddy Jim Cox and my partner and friend Kelly Findlay as they do the TV broadcast weighing these very big fish and big money up for grabs. Like I said, $2 million worth. This goes on and it starts as we get started with the weekend. I'm going to be down there tomorrow as those sport fishing yachts get ready to head out and start fishing, and they'll do a big time blast off for those boats, and I'm going to be out there at the pass. I think right now we're going to Pensacola Pass. We may go to the mouth of the bay. I don't know. But Midday Mobile will be from on the boat tomorrow. And yes, do I realize how lucky I am to get to do that for a job before you send the mean text in? Yes, I do understand how lucky I am. More information on this on BlueMarlinGrandChampionship.com. Also, like I said, it's a great spectator event. Saturday is probably my favorite day. You can come down Friday, too, but Saturday for weigh-in is really a great time. You've got the Jumbotrons. You have all the entertainment. You have a big carnival-like feel going on there, Main Street at the wharf. And, of course, you've got giant fish coming in and getting weighed in. So we'll see you down there at the wharf throughout the weekend. And tomorrow, I'll see y'all live from one of the pace boats with the Blue Marlin Grand Championship. Talking to our buddy Cam Marston from What's Working with Cam Marston on tonight at 6. And, by the way, too, if people want to go get past episodes of the show or after tonight get this podcast, how do they find you?
CamMarston.com. That's the website, CamMarston.com. Across the top of the page, you'll find the link to the podcast. And when you click that link, you'll have a couple different options, whether to listen right there or download or even forward it on to other people. And surprisingly, this podcast has been picked up by a group in Australia. It's been picked up recently by groups in France and Singapore. Some of the guests that I've had have connections there, and it's kind of the tentacles have begun to spread. That's kind of neat to watch.
Well, because I'll tell you right now, the message that you're talking about, and you're talking about what's working for business out there, a lot of people interested in that.
Well, I think so. And when we did our research to create this program, I couldn't find anything very similar in the marketplace right now. So there are a couple of them out in different places. One of it's just kind of a motivational guy who can call in and talk to you about your job problems, and he'll motivate you to get through them. I'm not interested in motivating you. You're on your own on that. If education motivates you, then I'm going to motivate you. But I'm not going to tell you you can do it and there's a fire in your belly and all that kind of junk. Right. That's not my gig.
Well, the show's not what might be working.
It's what should be working, right, or you're not working. It's what is working.
That's right, and that's what's great. So you're talking to Phil Smoker of Smoker Craft Boats, and I think it's interesting. The low unemployment rate in Elkhart, Indiana, putting extra demands on getting people in to build these pontoon boats at Smoker Craft. Elkhart back in 07, I think I remember, was the other end of the bookend as the economy started to tank and so many things from boats to RVs built in Elkhart, and so many people were unemployed. It has done a full pendulum swing.
Full pendulum swing, and I guess that makes them both good and bad. You know, when things are going well, they're going very well. I didn't know this prior to doing my research for the program, that half the RVs that you and I see on the road are made in Elkhart County, which means, obviously, that there are a ton of suppliers,
yes,
in Elkhart County. So it's not just the boat builders, of which I know one, and I think there's a total of two. It's the RV industry and the suppliers to both. And
all that demand on the labor force there.
On the labor force there. And something Phil talks about is the way that they bus people in. They'll take a bus 50, 60 miles away to a smaller community, open the doors, and they will bring people in on a bus daily to get the labor into the marketplace.
But look at the text line. Chris had asked for some examples of what they're doing, and I know you talked about it. He might have joined us late in the conversation, what they're doing at Smoker Craft, because once again, if you're just catching up with the story, your guest tonight's talking about the things they did to make people stay, or in this case also come back. And take a $10 an hour pay cut to do it.
To be a part of that community. I'll give you the three, one of which we've talked about already. They've upgraded the interior of the facilities by adding new lighting, painting the walls. One of the things that I said prior to the break is they really spruced up the restrooms.
I can see how that'd be appreciated.
Appreciated is the right word. Respectful of the workforce. Appreciate the workforce. They've done more. They're offering more time away, free time, time off, more vacation policy, which would seem contrary to the number of boats they need to get out the door.
Right.
But he said, considering the number of boats we need to get out the door, we get people to work harder in a shorter amount of time if they know that we're going to take a Friday afternoon off and have a barbecue in the back.
Mm-hmm.
They have altered their time off policy. Now, they've also altered their pay. They've had to compete in that regard.
Right.
And the final things that he said is they are walking the floor on a regular basis, talking to the labor, every level that's out there, interpersonally. I said, Phil, how are you keeping up with the trends? What are you doing? Is there a website you monitor? Do you go to association events to see what people want? He said, we've resorted to something old fashioned. We leave our office and go out and spend a lot of time talking to people, and they give us insights into things that would make it better. And when our people see us react to their suggestions, suddenly they feel more valued. They feel they've got some skin in this game, that we're not here posturing, that we have their best intentions in mind. He says it's been very effective.
And that builds, this may seem silly to people, but it builds loyalty.
Builds a lot of loyalty, and that's what's getting them to come back. They can go down the street for $10 more an hour, do somewhat of a similar job at an RV company, and feel like somewhat of a cog in the wheel. No personality, no individual recognition. Or they could come back to Smoker Craft and feel like they're part of something, and feel and their names are known by the people whose last name are Smoker. They keep up with each other's children. It's this, you said it before the break, it's this interpersonal, touchy-feely,
yeah,
that people are gravitating towards. And Sean, I don't know if that's a comment on our times. I don't know if that's a comment on people. I don't know what it is, but it's working, man. It's working. And they seem to have a recipe right now. But he also said something to note. He's not clear on what the next trend will be, knowing that he will probably have to catch up with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because something's going to sweep through the workforce in Elkhart County that's going to require them to pivot immediately to make sure they're still in the game. Because if they refuse to be in that game, mm-hmm, suddenly the next workplace does look more appealing. So one of the things that they have to do is be flexible at all times, ready to change and move and pivot based on what the demands are.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, as almost a laboratory case that all of us can watch in business, this Elkhart County, Indiana, almost can monitor what's going on there with that very tight labor force and see what may be coming to Mobile or Baldwin County or anywhere next.
And that was my angle on it. That's why I wanted him to tell us, because I think they are a bell cow,
mm-hmm,
something like that. We're all going to ultimately have to follow. Is it going to be a year from now? Is it going to be 5 years from now? I don't know. But if I can get ahead of it, if I know where the trends in the workplace are going, and if I can get ahead of it, and I'm a business owner, then maybe there's two of these ideas that I can pick up from Phil Smoker tonight, implement them, and get a leg up on the competition when it comes to finding, keeping, and retaining good people.
And
that's
you know,
the idea.
And that retention thing, for the business owners listening right now are nodding their head, is training new employees. People think about it, you just put another employee, that person leaves you. You go backwards with the company when you bring new people in.
It costs, I remember seeing, something like 10 times the individual salary that you lose to replace them. And that's in downtime, finding them, job unfulfilled, as well as pulling resources from your current team in order to train that individual. You're working at 100%, the person next to you is working to 100%, and you've got to train a new people, and suddenly those two people are now working at 50% while they're getting this next person up to speed. So retaining people is without a doubt the most economically efficient way to go.
Yeah, so I mean, there's some people that these ideas probably resonate very easily. Others, if you're callous to it and you're hearing it and going, that bunch of malarkey there, this is based in real dollars and cents.
This is
not just touchy-feely. This is bottom-line stuff.
Yeah, that 10 times number is something you can't deny. There's no way to deny that. And it is anybody that's been in the workforce for a while, particularly that has seen the P&Ls of their teams, knows that retention is a big deal.
Yeah.
Now, there are times, and you and I both know this, that you got to get rid of bad talent.
Yeah.
However, when you can train that talent up, get them right, when you can keep the people that you have, and, you know, it leads to another topic here. We're kind of wandering around here.
Well, that's what we do on this show. You know, I mean, it's the Wander Around show. It's good.
That's well, I fit in well. What I'm seeing is right now, people in their, let's say, 40s to mid-50s are in many tight places searching for what's next.
Right.
So somebody's been in their job for about 20 years, let's say, and they've gotten good at their job. And the sales that they used to make are no longer exciting them. The things that used to really make them peak in their performance aren't stimulating them much anymore. They've gotten bored. They're very good at what they do, but they've gotten bored doing it. And the employers that are aware of what I call the midlife doldrums, the mid-career doldrums, are doing everything they can to make sure those people stay stimulated by throwing them new ideas, throwing them new territories, throwing them new challenges that keep them stimulated in the work. Because the risk is you lose 20 years of experience because somebody's gotten bored. It's not easy to replace that individual. So you do what you have to keep them stimulated in their work.
It rings true, but you're incentivizing by additional challenges.
Whatever it takes to keep people stimulated in their job. That's right. Now, I know people that never get bored doing what they do. They love the perfection or the near perfection with which they work because they worked hard to gain an expertise. I know many more that have said, what's next? What's next? And I think that's a challenge to employers.
You think you got anybody in your business right now asking those questions? Think about that one. Coming back, we'll talk more about this with Cam Marston tonight. What's working? 6 o'clock right here on FM Talk 106.5. Grab some questions, too, at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 152 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Wednesday style. Glad to have you all along. Hey, if you haven't checked out the folks at Goldfinger's yet, I urge you to do so. Now, I have not been to the Saraland location, but I know it's like the Dolphin Street location. It's great. And now listen, Goldfinger's has great chicken fingers, fried chicken fingers. They have great hamburgers, the buffalo chicken sandwiches, the BLTs there. But the angle I want to tell you, because I'm trying to do better on the things I choose to eat on a daily basis. And I dearly love the chicken, and I dearly love the service you get at Goldfinger's. And they have grilled chicken fingers. Now, in the past, when I've gone to places, I don't want to name all the places in town, but you go to get there are a place that specializes in fried, but they also have the grilled, right? We do have that grilled. You get it, and it tastes bland, no seasoning, just pasty, kind of as you're choosing. Okay. Then you're like, oh, I'm going to go just get the fried anyway because it tastes better. Goldfinger's chicken finger. Go test it out. It text me and tell me if I'm not right on this. The seasoning on their grilled chicken fingers is so good that you're like, you make the right choice, and that right choice is reinforced by the taste. And then you do it again and again. Once you check them out, they're on Dolphin Street, right across. They pointed out, listen, they're neighbors of Chick-fil-A. They said, we are big fans of Chick-fil-A as well, but that Chick-fil-A is closed down for a couple weeks with their remodel. So if you are a normal customer to go across to Chick-fil-A, give Goldfinger's a chance right there on Dolphin Street. And do, if you go get the grilled and tell me what you think, because I think they are fantastic. It is going on right now and every day of the week at Goldfinger's in Saraland and on Dolphin Street in Mobile. All right, to continue our conversation with my friend Cam Marston, host of What's Working on tonight, 6 o'clock. And, of course, you can go back and get podcasts, not only of tonight's show later, but you can get past shows. You were tackling, and thank you, the questions some business owners have, or the questions we didn't know we had until we heard your show?
Well, I've been fascinated. For 20 years, I say this frequently, but 20 years I've been in the seminar business, I've been exposed to ideas at these different conferences that I attend.
Right.
Both where I'm
delivering. You speak to huge groups.
And I'm there many times to deliver content, but either before or after I do my stuff, I'm listening to somebody else. And they can be futurists. They can be economists. They can be, I've met several astronauts. I remember thinking, boy, these astronauts are rare people. Well, they're at every conference I go to, it seems like, is another astronaut. Incidentally, I asked...
Still kind of cool.
Yeah, it is kind of cool.
I mean, you're an astronaut. That's cool.
Shake the hand. You know, you're sitting down drinking a coffee with a guy who's spent months weightless. Yeah.
Yeah, that's compelling. I'd like to do that. Yeah.
I asked this guy one time, I can't remember his name, but he was one of these astronauts, what's the stupidest question you've ever been asked? Which I love to ask people in rare jobs. He said, a woman came up to me and said, so what is the favorite, of all the planets you visited, what is your most favorite? And he just kind of had to look at her and he said, you know, I think still Earth. Earth is by far my favorite planet.
Solid answer.
Yeah. That's a good old American education system. Pick your favorite planet that you visited. Yeah.
Solid answer.
Yeah.
With all of them, it's still Earth. You know, what the takeaway here, and just hear it, I can't wait to hear in depth your conversation tonight with Phil Smoker, but if you're somebody who has thought that maybe it is a good idea to do things to incentivize people staying, coming back to a company, being part of that team, or you're somebody who has never thought about that and is just a bunch of poppycock, this may be a big eye-opener for folks.
I want you to settle in. This is what I say in my seminars. I want you to settle in. Let me make an argument for you. I don't want you to interrupt. I don't want you to get up and leave. And I'm going to give you a little while to take a listen. And if any of this resonates with you, then I want you to sit back and let me make an argument to you. And in an hour, and our show is about an hour long, you're going to come away with a firm opinion of yes or no. But like I tell my kids in Brussels sprouts, you cannot veto Brussels sprouts until you've tried them. You cannot say you don't like it until you've tried it. I'm going to make an argument to you, and you can't reject it until you've listened to it. And you will only come away a little bit better by at least being aware of it. I mean, that's one of the great things of the conferences that I go to, and what I try to bring back through this show is the many different points of view and arguments and very articulate people out there who have what I may consider a left field opinion about something. But I'm not going to think it's left field until I've given it a solid listen. I've got one of my favorite audiences to be a part of, to listen as an audience member, is economists who make these remarkable predictions about where we're going. And they have data to back them up. All of them have data to back them up. They can tell you exactly how many cubic yards of concrete were poured in China last year and make predictions on their economy. And it allows you to come away with an opinion based on information. I'm trying to cover people with information so they'll come away with an opinion, and our focus is the workplace and the workforce.
All right, check it out tonight, 6 o'clock right here on FM Talk 106.5. Come back soon.
Yeah, love to.
All right, out of here, Feinbaum on the way next. Like I said, morning show as per normal, but midday show from on the water for the first time ever. Seems like it would have happened earlier in my radio career, but first time ever. That's going on tomorrow with the Blue Marlin Grand Championship. We'll check in at noon from the wharf or somewhere nearby on a boat.